This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's
so I want to play this off the top. This was Angela Merkel giving her New Year's message to Germany. And here's what she said specifically about that.
In going about our life and our work, we are telling the terrorists, you are murderers full of hatred, but you will not determine how we live and want to live. We are free, compassionate, and open.
And of course, this comes just shortly after that attack at the Christmas market there in Germany. You say that she still has some lessons to learn. What are those?
Well, yes, I mean, this speech, there's a name for this in the mental health profession. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's when an individual holds two completely contradictory things to be true at the same time, Abby. And you can't have your cake and eat it when it comes to these two issues. You cannot say we will have unfettered immigration from war zones and places where jihadis are active and also be safe. You simply cannot do that. We've seen before, this isn't the first time. We've seen again and again and again that the attacks in Europe are connected to immigrants. In some cases, immigrants who had asylum status, refugee status. Even here in the United States, there was a congressional report recently. We have prosecuted about 500 people for terrorism since 9/11 here in the United States. Half of them were not born here, and many of them were on visas that had expired or were actually asylum seekers here in the United States. So you can't have national security and as much immigration as you want.
Right, and we're seeing this play out all over the place, just most recently in Istanbul, Turkey. But we've already seen it play out here in our own backyard. You think about that nightclub attack in Orlando just this past year. How do we here at home live in reality? How do we get this right when it comes to fighting terrorism, when it comes to handling the refugee crisis?
Well, the first thing's already happened. The American people have spoken. So on November 8th, we elected somebody who gets it, who understands that having borders, having real vetting, not the false kind of, you know, smoke and mirrors that we have today, is absolutely non-negotiable. Donald Trump is going to change how we do this. We're going to see numbers decrease. And also, one of the big things we have to do is follow the lead of the NYPD. The NYPD, after 9/11, felt the feds had betrayed them, and they developed incredible intelligence tools, especially in the human intelligence field. We have to federalize those. We have to have the capacity for law enforcement to profile and to go into the places with their undercover assets where the bad guys are. Political correctness has to stop if we're going to save American lives.
I know a lot of people here, Scott, hear this and start to wonder, okay, how much of our privacy are we going to sacrifice as a result? And that's what you have to weigh, is privacy versus security. And security is not going to happen unless you're real serious about it. I mean, you know, when I went to Israel last year, you know, they had concentric circles of security that were set up where you were being, you know, checked out and vetted even before you got to the airport, much less at the airport. Leaving the United States, I was in about a 30-minute, question and answer period and talking to the people there that were, you know, trying to get an understanding of who I was and why I was going to Israel and, you know, the whole situation here. Israel doesn't, worry about dealing with profiling. You do what the smart thing is to make sure who's coming into your country. Are they a good guy or a bad guy? Do they mean you ill will or do they mean you goodwill? And I don't think there's a big problem with that. But yet the sentiment in our country right now is that we're going to come up against a force that says, hey, look, that violates my privacy. This opens the door. But this is where we need to keep the pressure and the accountability on those officials that they do not overreach, that we stay on top of this that we do not just turn over our security in such a way to let them just have their way with it. They need to still be accountable, and we still need to make sure that due process and the laws are maintained. There's no doubt about it. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. The conversation continues with Bill Martinez live.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, the job by no means is over. It has just begun, ladies and gentlemen, and that is that what it requires is activated citizens that are going to hold these elected officials accountable to make sure that the reason we voted them into office is what they focus on. Now, we understand there's going to be some give and take, but yet we just cannot go to sleep here and just turn the keys over to these politicos and think that they're going to be able to, maintain the interest, which is we the people. And it's up to we the people to stay engaged. With us right now is Dr. Tevi Troy, former Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services for George W. Bush, the author of Shall We Wake the President? Two Centuries of Disaster Management from the Oval Office. Dr. Troy, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me. And I agree, we the people need to keep monitoring what's going on.
Well, Shall We Wake the President? Explain why you wrote the book.
So the book is a history of how presidents have handled disasters over time. And it looks at the variety of disasters that have befallen our country, whether they are natural or man-made. And it looks at how different presidents have handled them and how we should handle them going forward. And also how we, the people, should react as individuals if a disaster strikes on our area. You know, you can't really count on the federal government showing up immediately after a disaster. You're going to need to be ready to protect yourself and your family in the immediate aftermath of a disaster. That doesn't mean the federal government won't come with resources a day or a week later. But on that first day, you really need to have a plan for you and your family.
Well, as a deputy with Health and Human Services for George W. Bush, what comes to mind immediately was what happened, you know, to your point, in New Orleans. The government was just, it was kind of like a perfect storm where this thing was so massive, the people so counted on the government to take care of them that, it couldn't have been the worst case scenario, could it have been? Could it have gotten any worse?
It was pretty bad, and I was a White House aide at the time, and there were a lot of failures on multiple levels, including especially at the state and local level. I mean, there were demands, there were requests that they evacuate New Orleans, and all those school buses were sitting there, and they were never deployed. The governor either didn't know how to or didn't want to request federal assistance, so there were a lot of problems there. But I also criticized to some degree my former boss, George W. Bush, for a poor response. It's ironic given that, as I show in my book, he was on top of weather disasters throughout his presidency to the point where reporters would comment on how good he is on weather disasters until that one Katrina storm that was really a big problem. And he says in his own memoir that being on vacation and not getting back to Washington sooner was one of his mistakes in that endeavor.
Well, as you look back over two centuries of disaster management from the Oval Office, what's the big takeaway here?
The big takeaway is that the role of the president has grown in terms of responding to disasters as the expectations of the American people have grown. So I talk about in the 19th century, presidents often didn't even know that a disaster had taken place. They didn't have instantaneous communications. You also had a much smaller government that wasn't expected to do as much. So I tell the story of the Johnstown flood in 1889. 2,000 people are killed, and the people of Johnstown send a telegraphic message to President Harrison saying that we need assistance. And Harrison, who is not an uncompassionate person, telegraphs back that this is the responsibility of the governor. And the people of Johnstown respond back in a telegraphic message, thank you. They thanked him for his quick response. Now, I couldn't imagine that happening today. You'd see denunciations and lawsuits and all kinds of criticism taking place if that were to happen. So the expectations of the American people on presidents in terms of disaster has significantly changed over the last century or so.
Well, not only presidents, but what you said earlier, Dr. Troy, about the expectations of government. We have become, we've moved a little bit closer and closer, and we're probably more on the brink of all-out socialism here most recently. So with that kind of we're going to turn it over to the government, and they're going to be the ones that come in and, you know, keep us dry and filled with food and all that stuff, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. First of all, to explain that this rise of expectations and the president to handle everything is just not appropriate, and that something should be kicked down to the local level, and the localities should be handling certain types of disasters. There are others that I argue in the book that maybe the president should be watching more carefully, like, for example, the possibility of a bioterror attack. I mean, I think that is more at the federal level. It's not realistic to expect the state of Iowa to have a stockpile of countermeasures in case some nefarious terrorist group comes up with a terrible disease that they want to infect our population with. So that should be in the federal purview. But other things like weather disasters, maybe those should be pushed back to the local level. And then in addition, I think that people should reclaim their individuality and their own rights and recognize that they need to do certain preparations in order to make sure that they and their families are ready in case disaster strikes.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, having grown up in California, we dealt with an occasional earthquake. Fortunately, in the areas that we got hit, it was very, very minor. Wasn't catastrophic, but here last year, I'm now on the East Coast, I'm in Florida, and we had a hurricane come through, and boy, I'll tell you, it was amazing. I mean, you talk about observing people and the shelves, how they emptied out so quickly. I was amazed. It was quite an observation. Fortunately, where we were at initially, they had talked about the hurricane coming through our area immediately, and it missed us ever so slightly. I think it stayed off the coast enough to where we sustained maybe 70-mile-an-hour winds, nothing really dramatic. We lost a couple of flagpoles and some trees and things like that, but nothing like, up in Carolina and northern Florida, where they got floods and some really true devastation that took place. And when those disasters happen, I mean, you're left to your own devices for several days, even in the best of plannings.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you shouldn't be in a situation where you're taking everything off the supermarket shelf when a disaster strikes. You should have certain things at home. You should have flashlights, batteries, extra toilet paper, food to last you and your family for a number of days, not a month, but a few days to be sure, and extra water in the house. And so I make specific lists of what people should be doing and how they should be preparing themselves, because, again, you can't count on the government coming to help you out, certainly in the first day or even the first few days.
What do you recommend in terms of, having how many days of of supplies and emergency, tools and those things should you be prepared for? Should it be at least a week?
I argue for 3 to 5 days. If it's a week, then we're going to have bigger problems. I mean, think of, The Walking Dead or some of those apocalyptic shows. I mean, I think a week-type disaster is something that's to some extent unrealistic, but also to some extent so much more catastrophic than you can as an individual prepare for. But also make sure your batteries have water, I guess 1 gallon per person per day. And so you just want to be ready.
Exactly. Well, nothing like being prepared. Our conversation with Dr. Tevi Troy continues. He's the former Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services for George W. Bush, the author of this book that we've been talking about. Shall We Wake the President? Two centuries of disaster management from the Oval Office. Some great stuff in there. Well, I'll tell you, it's going to open up your eyes to realize that maybe our government of everything is a bit too realistic. What do you think? 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let the Addiction Rehab Specialist help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there will be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call the Addiction Rehab Specialist at 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
To Bill Martinez live.
Here we come, the West, the Lane, and the Lilies, the Green. Here we come, a wandering, no fear to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you, you're welcome to. And God bless you, we send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year.
opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
I maintain if we lustled a little bit more, we'd probably be a little happier. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. Our conversation with Dr. Tevi Troy, former Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services for George W. Bush, continues. His book, Shall We Wake the President? Two Centuries of Disaster Management from the Oval Office. You know, Dr. Troy, just the title, Shall We Wake the President, would lead us to believe that maybe at times we've had people sleeping in the Oval Office that needed to be more astute to what's happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I was trying to get at with the title was a combination of things. First of all, there's the famous 3 o'clock
yes.
Hillary Clinton ad about who do you want, answering the phone when the phone rings at 3, but also the sense that over time presidents have been awakened by various disasters, by their aides, by the Situation Room, to be notified of certain things. You know, President Obama gave an interview where he said that he was only woken up 4 to 6 times throughout his presidency, and one of them, you'll love this, Bill, was to be notified that he had won the Nobel Peace Prize early on in his administration before anyone would even claim that he deserved it. So
he probably still thought he was dreaming.
Yeah.
Just saying. Sidebar. I don't expect you to comment, but that's okay. But that's a whole other discussion altogether.
Exactly. The fact is that sometimes presidents do have to be awakened by disasters. And mm-hmm. one of the things I'm trying to get at in the book is, when are disasters the kind and magnitude that should lead to presidents being notified? It's not always a wake up in the middle of the night, but it is when do we involve the president in a crisis, and when is it something that can be handled at a local level? When is something that's really not the president's purview? And
it is a call for leadership. And leadership, as you stated earlier, can be as simple as directing people to who should be the responsible party. And even if you go to the president, it may not be his job, as you say, but he knows whose job it is and directs them accordingly. Sometimes I think this is where we get into trouble, is we use the wrong tool for the wrong job, wrong person for the wrong job, and that's where we get things out of order a bit, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And part of it is this recognition that if let's say there's a disaster, the president is not going to go out there and stop the stormwaters or prevent the flood or, you know, give out the vaccines, but he can direct people, and he can also communicate to the American people. And the way the president communicates in a disaster is extremely important. Does he induce panic, or does he soothe the people and create calm? Does he not stress the urgency sufficiently so people don't do what he instructs? Sometimes he might say to take a vaccine, or to shelter in place, or to evacuate. Will you listen to the president's word? Does the president have the credibility to get the American people to do difficult things? So all of these are really important questions that the presidents need to look at and be good at when a crisis strikes.
And what you're not even bringing into play here is the media's responsibility and their response, how they can help or hinder the process. No doubt there was, you know, particularly George W. Bush, which they seem to pile on repeatedly, and they're getting ready again to do it, you know, starting January the 21st. They just cannot help themselves. But they didn't help the situation in New Orleans. I mean, there was lots of blame to go around there, but they seem to want to target, you know, George W. Bush more than, you know, than anybody else. Not so much that they should target any one person, I believe, as much saying, hey, look, we have an issue here. We got a problem. You know, how could we better handle it, as opposed to being so accusatory and belittling and disrespectful?
Oh, yeah. It's clear that the knives appear to be out for George W. Bush in Katrina. That was early in his second term. He had won a big re-election victory, and it seemed like he had a real opportunity to do things, but the media kind of wanted to take him down a peg. And just look, contrast and compare the coverage of Bush in the Katrina situation and with Obama with the Hurricane Sandy, or the flooding in Baton Rouge just this year. With Baton Rouge, I mean, he stayed on vacation for a number of days, longer than he probably should have. And he did not get nearly the pillorying that George W. Bush did. So I think the media sometimes has a storyline that they want to push, and some people they want to prop up, and some people they want to bring down.
And, of course, the big topic in your relationship with Health and Human Services, of course, national health care. And the disaster that it has turned into, you know, what do we do? I mean, you know, you've got it so far down the road here. You know, they talk in terms of repealing and replacing. But I think this is going to be a process. I don't think this is going to be something done, you know, within the first 2 years of this presidency. I mean, it could take longer. It might have to be something that is realized even into the second term, which I think could be disturbing for people, you know, on several levels. Number one is accepting that there could be a second term of one Donald Trump. And number two is in this microwave generation in which we live in, that things do not move fast enough, you know, waiting 4 years might be too long for some people.
Yeah, of course you're right, Bill. This is going to be a process. And I think one of the ways that the ACA or the Obamacare went wrong is that it tried to do everything in one bill, and I just don't think that's realistic. So I think if the Republicans take a series of steps to try over time, through a number of processes, to reduce the overall cost of healthcare and thereby make it so that not as many people need subsidies and don't need subsidies of the magnitude that the ACA was trying to provide, then I think we'd be in a better place on healthcare. And I think there are ways to do that. I think Republican plans have been scored by the Congressional Budget Office as being able to reduce the overall cost of healthcare. But I think that's the direction we need to go.
Well, the other thing, too, is bipartisanship. Let's get both sides involved. When you have a unilateral bill of this magnitude, a bill that is driven by one party, I mean, that's a disaster from the, you know, from the get-go. You know, we've been saying all along here, Dr. Troy, that even with the shock that the Democrats, you know, have been in as a result of this November election, I'm saying get your act together. You know, we need you on the playing field. You know, we need you there participating in government and get over this shock situation of what happened, get connected to reality and get on the playing field and help us be about the work that needs to be accomplished on behalf of we the people.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, look, one of the other problems with the ACA that it was passed in a unipartisan way. It was jammed down the throat of Republicans, and that's one of the reasons why the Republicans didn't accept it and the American people didn't accept it, because it was done by one party, and we don't like that. And with every other piece of social welfare legislation that's ever passed in this country's history, it's been done in a bipartisan way, and even if contentious in advance,
exactly,
it was swallowed and accepted by the American people afterwards. And so we do need bipartisan reforms, and I hope the Democrats are willing to come to the table and negotiate as opposed to just saying no, no, no to everything.
Well, I often say that experience defines preference. We've had 6 years of the ACA. Good things, some good things are highlighted, and I think those should be embraced. The other things need to be repealed and eradicated, but I think the opportunity that lies before us is a true national health care program that is win-win for all concerned.
I certainly would like to see win-win. I mean, the problem with the ACA was it was so complicated and so many things going into it that if you say, well, I like this one element of it, then they say, well, you can't have that one element without every other element. And I just don't think that's the case. I don't think it was such a perfectly constructed piece of legislation that you can't make certain changes and say, you know, here's some of the things we'd like to see without blowing up absolutely everything. So let's see how we can make this stuff work better for the American people, reduce costs, repeal the parts of the ACA or all of the ACA that has to be repealed, and then come forward with a better plan going forward.
Exactly.
That's what I'd like to see.
Well, Dr. Troy, 2017, moving ahead, natural disasters can happen. They're not necessarily predictable, although some would suggest otherwise, but that's okay. But they do come in as a bit of surprise, and of course, the big one we're talking about is something that could involve our electrical system as well.
Oh, yeah, and that's mentioned in the book, In Shall We Wake the President? So I urge people to read it.
There it is. Available at all the usual places?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, and we'll have it linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Shall We Wake the President, name of the book, 2 Centuries of Disaster Management from the Oval Office. Dr. Tevi Troy, former Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services for George W. Bush. Dr. Troy, thank you so much for being with us.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, for those of you in a little bit of a rebellious attitude, a little rebellion music, why not, huh? Happy New Year to you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. You know, as we close out 2016, it's impossible to argue there was a story bigger than the surprising outcome of the U.S. presidential election. And within that context, no surprise was more unexpected and more significant than the sudden collapse of the left's compassion advantage. This, according to John Hart, editor-in-chief of the conservative website Opportunity Lives. John, welcome to Bill Martinez. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bill. It's great to be on again.
Hey, always good to have you here. So, huge surprise, the closing of the empathy gap is what you wrote about in your most recent article. Break that down for us.
But yeah, it was a big, big surprise, Bill. I think, you know, as we look back and reflect on the surprising election of Donald Trump, it was surprising for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, is all the polls said that he would lose. So it didn't take a lot of a big leap of faith to suggest that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Admittedly, I thought she'd win. I was not a Trump guy. I was a Rubio supporter. Mm-hmm. But clearly Trump prevailed, even though he won only 45% of the Republican primary vote. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason he surprised everyone is the Democrats' base, or their floor, fell out from underneath them. And the reason for that is that for decades, the left had been the beneficiary of this, you know, what I call this compassion advantage. Mm-hmm. The presumption that Democrats, quote, care more than Republicans.
Right.
And they've benefited from that. And they were very skilled at demagoguery and you know, portraying Republicans as heartless, as rich guys, as out of touch. But all of a sudden, their counterfeit compassion caught up with them. You know, the check bounced as they've been depositing this sort of hope and change in the electorate. and the public realized there was a wooden nickel. There was no there there.
Right.
You know, and we spent $22 trillion in this war on poverty, for example, and we haven't moved the needle. You know, the poverty rate's about the same as it was in the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than $22 trillion is more than all the wars we fought combined times three since our founding. And so there was a big shift there. And it's both, the results of Trump's skilled campaigning, his communication skills, his ability to connect with people. But I really think the bigger factor is that working Americans have lost faith in the Democrats' policies. And that should be a wake-up call. It really hasn't been as much as it should be for the left.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you quickly look back at the last three elections, this is a fascinating sort of change of numbers, where in 2008, if you ask voters, who cares about people like me, there's a block of voters, it's maybe 15-20% of the electorate. They say that's their most important quality in a president, is they want someone who, quote, cares about people like them.
Right.
So Barack Obama beat John McCain by a margin of 74-24 on the empathy gap. And then in 2012, that expanded. Obama trounced Romney 81-18. But then you fast forward to this recent election. And so Clinton still won that vote, but it was by a smaller margin, by 58-35%. So Trump, in other words, did twice as well as Romney did among these what you call the empathy voters.
Right.
But that translated into, again, a total collapse of the left's base. Clinton received 3.7 million fewer votes than Obama got in 2008. And Trump, on the other hand, got 3 million more votes, which is about what you would hope and expect, given population change, there's more voters than there were in 2008.
Exactly.
So that was really the big surprise, is that when you really peel back the numbers, what's fascinating, what should be deeply troubling to Democrats, is the extent to which people rejected their vision. And that gives Republicans, I think we'd be wrong to overinterpret the mandate. I don't think this was a Trump revolution as much as it was a rejection of Clinton and the way business has been done for 30, 40 years. But it's given Republicans this historic opportunity to win a mandate, to win the hearts and minds of voters with a positive agenda, one that's substantial and serious and thoughtful, that's targeted at the source of the anxiety, which is, economic stagnation, political correctness. There's a lot of issues we go through, but we're in the midst of a big change, and it's an exciting time for the country.
Well, John, I would agree with you that the voters look to the bottom line of the Democratic policies and says it's just not delivering. You know, all their promises, everything, it rang hollow. Like you said, it came up a wooden nickel. And, meanwhile, you had the president insisting that things were better. And, and it was falling on deaf ears because the reality was it's not better. I mean, the president,
exactly.
Goldsby, who comes on Fox, almost regularly, insist that here's all these new jobs. It's, come on, when you say that, you speak, and then I need to throw an asterisk on every statement you make, because people are just hearing the headline, but they know that the headline doesn't have a whole lot of veracity, because they themselves are experiencing the reality that either they don't have a job or they've had to now work three jobs to make up for the one they lost.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely, Bill. That you've nailed it. The problem the Democrats have is they've convinced themselves, as you said, that they've had this communication problem, that if only we would communicate better, people would understand how much better things are. And when you look at it from kind of a cold analytical view, yeah, you can argue that we've somewhat improved economic growth in just a raw numbers category. But when you look at the people who've benefited, people don't believe the recovery because they don't feel it. And they don't feel it because in their day-to-day life, they look at the fact that healthcare is three times as expensive as it used to be. You know, they're supposed to get more affordable coverage with Obamacare, and it's less affordable. The cost of regulation has made everything more expensive, and it's made jobs harder to find.
Exactly.
So you go across the board. Education, wages have stagnated while the cost of everything else has gone up. My old boss, Tom Coburn, had a great quip. He said, the best way to make something expensive is for government to make it affordable. So in other words, when government subsidizes, oh, we're going to help you. We're going to make everything affordable so you can have a better life. Well, you know, but you better watch your wallet, because what's going to happen is you're going to make a lot less, and you're going to get these programs that, you know, access to a program is not access to a benefit or health care.
Right.
And health care is the classic case of that.
Well, you know, when government tells you they use words like affordable, it's just the opposite. David Stockman, I think, shocked a lot of our audience back in October with the release of his book. And he was on the air with us, John, and he flat out says, Bill, let me give it to you bottom line here. He says, America has not created one net breadwinning job since 2000. Bingo. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. End of story. And as you say, regulations are such a huge contributor to the problems that we're dealing. And then you add a national healthcare system, in a sense, another, you know, kind of humongous blob of regulations that stepped in. Is it any wonder? And then let's add to the fallacy and the misreporting and, I would say the propaganda of this administration to tell us that unemployment is sub 5%, when people know it's nowhere near 5%.
People are dropping out of they've dropped out of the labor force.
Yeah,
and they don't count that number.
What are they going to do, John? They're going to stop eating. You're going to go home and tell the kids, "Hey guys, we're going to go on a fast for the next 2 years because Dad's not working." Are you kidding me? They're working. It's under the table. You know, we've got a whole nother group involving millions of dollars of under the table kind of black market labor force that's going on within the country, and I think that's going to be a challenge for the Trump administration to repatriate those dollars.
No, it is. You got to bring the jobs here already back home that already exist.
Well, it's going to be fun times, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be a slam dunk. We've got some heavy road ahead of us. We've got some opportunity, I think, that is pretty encouraging, but it's going to be a process. The grief to happiness ratio is definitely there. The difference being where we need to be and where we are, and there's going to be some pain ahead, but hang in there. We can do this together. John Hart, I think you agree with us, right?
You bet. Absolutely. No, it's an exciting time.
Exactly. John Hart, I'm Bill Martinez live. Happy New Year, John.
Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy. Applies to Tier 1 generics.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Can't stand the heat? Get out of the kitchen. Bill Martinez, live.
Drag out the weeds.
Live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, I want to remind you, we have Hillsong United's movie, Let Hope Rise, still available. We're giving some more away. So all you got to do is drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me you want to be in the hoppa, be in the running, and hey, we pull your name. Make sure you include your address. That's especially helpful because they got to know where to send it to. And this movie is going to blow you away. It will... It'll bless you immensely. Trust me. Hillsongs United, Let Hope Rise. If you didn't see it on the big screen, you have an opportunity to see it at your home. Hey, have a neighborhood party. Why not? And we'll all be honoring and praising Jesus. Why not? Bob Olszewski with us, Focus on the Families, Director of Media and Culture, Director of Focus's Plugged In Department, which features the popular Plugged In website, pluggedin.com. That's where you go to be in the flow of the know, as we say. Robert, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. I was listening to that Dan Fogelberg.
I know.
As you were old Ang Zion as we were coming on. I can remember that from way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We just a little flavor here for the new year and that sort of thing. And yes, Dan Fogelberg brings back a lot of memories. I can't tell you how many times I've played that on the air back in my old disc jockey days in Los Angeles. You know, I was talking with Paul Williams, who's now head of ASCAP BMI. I said, hey, look, I think you need to give me like 10% for royalty. Little slide
yeah,
here.
For playing
you know.
It so much.
I played
it
so much.
Albums because I played it.
Exactly. So, you know, he says, hey, I might be able to make that work. I said, hey, let's get out of here. I need some retirement.
Hey, underline the might. It's the might. Yeah. He was being very honest. I might.
He's so well-meaning. What a great guy, though. He's so much fun. Hey, the box office, no big surprises, actually.
Yeah, kind of steady, like right? The week before.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is people went out to the theater over the holidays, lots and lots and lots. And Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, no surprise, 3 weeks at number one. And not just a trickle, you know, a little bit of revenue. I mean, they made another $64 million.
Nice.
And most anybody else in Hollywood would like that to be what the revenue would make
for
week
the run.
Number one, not week number three.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so $439 million total in the U.S., and then that's just the U.S., and
yeah.
You add in the global numbers. We're getting close to that $1 billion mark. But keep in mind, the last one made $2 billion after all the dust settled. So I don't think Rogue One will get that far. But, I mean, who's going to complain about $1 billion? So
now, Bob, do you think the passing of Carrie Fisher has anything to do? Is this adding a couple of additional points to it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, because the media has covered that story and Debbie Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
I think even the passing of her mother and the fact that they both died within a day of each other.
Exactly.
And the media just reminded us that they were talented actresses, and in Carrie Fisher's case, I think it was like, oh yeah, you know, it's time to go see this one, you know,
right.
Especially for those who have just thought, I will see it on DVD. I may not go see it in the theater. I'll just wait a couple months, you know.
Uh-huh.
They'd have to wait longer, I think, than that one, because it'll be in theaters for a couple months.
Right.
But I think, yeah, I think people got out and saw. Sing came in number two. A cute little animated flick that we gave a 4 out of 5. By the way, we gave Rogue One a 3.5
mm-hmm.
to some of our listeners who are, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard us talk about movies. A 3.5 out of 5, which is a pretty good score. Sing, a 4 out of 5, great score. Coming in at number 4 is Disney's Moana, also another 4 out of 5. Made another $14 million, even though it's been out 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Washington's Fences. Came in at number 6, made $12.7 million. An interesting film on this one. It's based on a Pulitzer-winning play that Denzel actually was in years ago, and then decided to not only star in the movie but direct the movie. And it's a movie that we gave a 2 out of 5. And usually on a 2, you just kind of write those off. But this is one of those rare times where a 2 for a date night adult, like date night movie, might still have possibilities. A rare 2 that's, because it's a cautionary tale, and if people go into it realizing that some of the things that happen on screen, infidelity, for instance, is never glamorized, but it might actually be a film that people want to catch. La La Land at number 7 actually showed up as one of my favorite films of all last year.
I like that.
And Lion at number 13, also on my list. So two films playing in the theater. And when I sat down to write my list of, here's the films that I really liked, my top 10, both La La Land and Lion actually ended up on that. So.
Yeah. For all us Renaissance men and women, La La Land is just terrific. It takes us back. Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire, all those movies that I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching.
Singing in the Rain.
Speaking of Debbie Reynolds. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, good fun. Good fun. Well, what about, you know, speaking of, in 2016, looking back, what were your highlights?
You know, a lot of people who would do the same were going to put Rogue One on their list somewhere in the top 10. Mine, it doesn't show up, which doesn't mean that I don't like the film. It just means that when I mention a few titles here, they're films that I actually enjoyed better. Now, I have to clarify it a little bit, again, especially for some of our newer listeners, to say what constitutes a film that Bob Olszewski enjoys. You know, I saw 134 films last year. I just completed.
That's a lot of popcorn, Bob. That's a lot of popcorn.
Well, that was low, though. See, I've got my sheets in front of me. The year before, I saw 142.
Oh.
So, and the year before that, 136. So I'm kind of in the ballpark. Anyhow, the buzz and the hype around a movie and special effects doesn't jazz me as much as a film that has a story that I feel like if I walked out of the theater, I could be a better person because I saw it. That's what constitutes my favorite. So
the redeeming value of the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Queen of Catway ended up on my list of favorites. It's kind of my top film of the year.
Mm.
And Bill, I believe you saw it. I think we've talked about Queen
of
Catway a couple times. Is that right?
Right? Yeah, in fact, we talked with Oyelowo We interviewed him. Yes, right. Yeah.
So, and again, it's a basic story of a Christian guy in the country of Uganda who was a very good soccer player and went into the slums, could have started a soccer program and probably would have done quite well. But he thought about it and decided, I also play chess. I'm going to teach these slum kids to play chess. And it went on to produce some of Uganda's very best. I'm not ashamed. The Rachel Scott story was on my list.
Yeah, we just talked to her mom. We just talked with her mom this week, earlier this week.
Oh, Rachel's mom.
Yeah.
Which isn't Scott. I've met her before. Arrival, the extraterrestrials that hover over planet Earth and what they're all about. Lion that I mentioned as well. Young Messiah, the remake of Ben-Hur that came out in August. And Disney's Finding Dory is an animated flick. With honorable mention going to Hacksaw Ridge. Here's a case of another film that didn't score very high on Plugged In's rating scale, but we had to knock it down for its extreme violence. But if I had to say, again, if I like films because they're inspiring and I can be a better person by walking out the theater, I walked out of seeing Hacksaw Ridge a better person. Desmond Doss is, I have not forgotten that man, and I don't think I can ever forget him because his heroic service for our country during World War II, especially in Okinawa, is just, I just can't imagine someone doing it, and I just think, how could I be more like a Desmond Doss?
Yeah, without a gun. Without a gun.
Without a gun.
Yeah.
Yes. A conscientious objector who not only won't carry one, he said, I won't even touch one. I don't even want to touch a gun.
Right.
And was awarded the Purple Heart, first person ever to be a conscientious objector and to, I guess, the Medal of Honor by a president. So, hey, what a hero.
Well, and that war is incredible because you have that in contrast, about 8-9 months earlier, Private Eddie Slovak in the European theater. And he is executed for, walking off the job. He did not want to be in the war, but he was out in the back helping in the mess halls and that. And he gets executed for being AWOL. So quite the contrasting stories between the two. One of my favorites last year, War Room. You talk about coming away better and encouraged. I thought, the boys, the Kendrick brothers did a great job there with that movie.
I did too. It would have been on my list, except I believe it was the year before.
And, well, okay. All right. So, yes. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I tell you, for listeners who are just trying to, you know, why talk about favorite movies? Because we've got listeners who, you know, want to rent, want to buy something for their library. And some of the titles I mentioned might be worth seeing. And the one that you mentioned, War Room, is definitely a favorite for me. You cannot walk out of that theater if you're open to the things of the Lord without being a better person. And
yeah,
I had so many emails after that film came out about people that were impacted. They go something like this. Hey, we had an extra fourth bedroom in our house. It's been a junk room for us, and it's all filled with stuff. But after watching this movie, we cleaned it all out. We made it into a little prayer room. And my wife and I have been starting to get together and pray every day in our little war room prayer room.
Wow.
And it's like, that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Robert, as always, an honor to have you on the show. Great to have you with us. Happy New Year to you and yours and all those that focus on the family. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, go to PluggedIn.com for all the information you need to know. Thank you, Robert.
Offer not valid in all states and where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com. account, and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.